good to see everyone, and welcome if this is your first time coming, and welcome back if this is not your first time coming. So today, I have a small talk about, I guess when you think about Easter, there's like a lot of things that could possibly be covered, and lots of different elements to Easter, the run-up to Easter, the crucifixion week, the actual crucifixion, the resurrection, everything around it. But today I want to mainly look at what happens after the cross and why the resurrection changes everything and why that is so important and what it means for us. What comes to mind when you first think of Easter? It might be church services, it might be the cross, it might also be Easter eggs, bank holiday, long weekends, springtime, a Sunday roast tradition, chicks, bunnies. Like, there's lots of things that kind of get surrounded with Easter, especially with it also now being more of a commercial holiday as well. Again, like chocolate, bank holidays, all those kind of things. But really, I think there's one thing that we should really be focusing on when it comes to Easter. And ultimately, it is about what happens after the cross. So before we dive into that, let's take a quick look at why that is important.
That brought the collective pace of humanity to an absolute standstill. He is risen. Three words that shattered prisons. Words that shook the earth's foundations. Words that transformed a sense of utter despair into cries of pure joy and ecstasy. Echoes of history's greatest triumph that still shape our reality. Even today, we're assaulted by constant distraction, countless sources waging war for our attention, yet three words pierce the noise. In our hunger for validation, our desperate pleas for love and attention, three words calm our anxieties. In a universe spinning at breakneck speed, its inhabitants locked in an existential crisis, three words proclaim the purpose of our existence. He is risen. Lay hold of this truth and embrace the peace within. Yesterday, fear reigned in our hearts. Yesterday, we sat in crippling darkness. Yesterday, we suffered abuse and all the accusations of a broken world. But today, our King, our healer, our defender is risen. And this reality doesn't merely accompany us on a meaningless journey. This changes everything. For you see, if he is risen, then all other pursuits become secondary. All of our failures become insignificant. All criticisms and condemnations become irrelevant. There is only his word, his mission, and his infinite, unconditional love for you. Because he is risen, we look to tomorrow. Tomorrow we will stop defining our worth through status and social media. Tomorrow we will together build an everlasting kingdom. Tomorrow and every day after, we will dance in the radiance of a redeeming Savior who crushed death and set us free. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. We know this because he lives. We know this because he is risen.
So I think that is the part that, you know, we don't always sit with, is that he is risen. The whole point of Jesus going on the cross wasn't just to die for our sins, but was to be risen and to complete everything. And the fact that he is risen is what changes everything, is what sets us apart. And it kind of relates to Luke 24, and this is just a small bit of the verse, where they say that they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So from the beginning of the, when Jesus was crucified, when he was buried, there was despair. But in that time, he was doing his mission, and he was defeating death. But for that to have an effect on us, Jesus also needed to be risen. He needed to be resurrected. And that's what changes everything. So when we think about why the resurrection is important, it really relates to ultimately the original problem of separation with humanity and with God. So I'm sure all of us have messed up at some point. Maybe we've lied, maybe we've cheated, maybe we've made somebody feel bad, or we've experienced hurt. And the Bible confirms this. Romans 3 verse 23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this sin is not something that's new to us. It's something that existed before us. It's something that will exist after us. But the point is that none of us have been born perfect, and we have been suffering from this separation of God through our sin. So if that's the problem, then what is the solution? Well, the solution was Jesus' sacrifice. And this was a sacrifice that was also a prophecy. In Isaiah, which was written way before Jesus came, part of that verse of chapter 53 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." So it's very clear in that verse that we had the problem of sin, but it was Jesus and his sacrifice that was able to clear that for us. Jesus dying on the cross was that act of atonement, and it was that sacrifice, but that was in order to bring forgiveness. After forgiveness, there needs to be something else. If the story stopped at the cross, there would only ever be forgiveness, but there would not be reconciliation, because it didn't end there. It didn't just end with Jesus dying. It didn't just end with him taking the punishment for our sins, because we're not just forgiven because of the resurrection. We are now invited into a new life. And that's where the power of the resurrection comes in for us. That's where it becomes alive. The same way that Jesus is alive because he rose is the same way we're being invited and given an invitation to come into a new life with him through the resurrection. Because it says this in the Bible, ultimately the cross is what paid the price and is what cleared the sin. It's kind of like, I don't know if maybe like if you go out, for example, and you go to like Central London, Mayfair, a lot of the clubs and the venues, it's you have to pay to get on the door. However, a lot of times you can be on a guest list. And if you're on a guest list, it means that somebody else has paid for you. Your name is on the list. All you need to do is show up, say your name, and you get to walk in. Now, it might be a bit of a rogue example, but that's essentially what Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross. He's put our names on God's guest list. He's put our names on the guest list of life. We don't have to pay the entry fee anymore because Jesus paid that through the cross. All we have to do is accept the fact that this has been paid for us and simply accept the invitation. Romans 6 verse 4, part of it says, "Just as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Jesus did the work for us by dying on the cross, paying the price for us to be able to come in to harmony and to partnership with God, something that we wouldn't have had the funds to do before. We wouldn't have had the dress code. We weren't ready. We weren't able to do that. But Jesus came, died on the cross, and through his resurrection, now invites us to live a new life with him. Some of these pictures, for example, the angels on the in the tomb, I quite liked that because it does remind you that from the beginning he was raised, and when they went to look for him, they didn't find him. 1 Peter 1 First Peter chapter 1, verse 3, really touches on what we now call a living hope. Because again, the death on the cross was the price that was paid, but the resurrection is where we are able to live a new hope with Christ. This is just some of the end part of the verse, but of course, do read it in full. But what was key here was the fact that in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that right there is the main key point why the resurrection is so important. It's through the resurrection that we are able to have a new life and a new birth in Jesus Christ. It's also why baptism is so important, because baptism is a symbol of resurrection. It's almost as if you are dying on the cross and being raised again like Jesus was. It's a way of being able to connect in that way. But the point is that had Jesus not been resurrected, we wouldn't have had that opportunity to have a new life. Jesus' new life is our new life. So I think that's the main takeaway from this point. Easter isn't just about being forgiven. We were forgiven when Jesus died on the cross and when he paid the price for our sins. That was the forgiveness. But the resurrection is the invitation, and it's Jesus inviting you into a new life through his resurrection. So whether you've already taken that invitation and you want to reflect on it and you want to get closer to God, or whether you haven't had taken that invitation yet, the invitation is always there. The invitation was there the minute that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he offers that invitation to everyone all the time. Even if you feel like you need to go back and retake it, Jesus is always there offering you a new living hope and a new life with him. The same way that he raised from the dead is the same way that he wants to raise us from our past death of living in sin into a new life with him. So that is where our hope is. Jesus is alive, he is risen, and therefore there's hope for us. So hopefully this can make us all think about what a fresh start might mean for us, how a fresh start might look for us, and where we can allow Jesus to fuel that life in us.